In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. Good morning. Beloved in Christ, it's a beautiful thing to be in this holy cathedral and to be worshiping with you. I have not been here for long time, but I will fix that someday. Today I greet all of you in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, and I pray that you are doing well, you are considering your salvation. When you come to the church to pray, you take something with you to home, the blessing, the grace, and the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ. Beloved clergy and all the believers, the month of November is a holy month. The month of November is a holy month like the rest of the year. God has made everything beautiful. God has made everything perfect like Him. Like Him. He made us to live, but to live a spiritual life. To live like Him exactly. To be His icon. To be His reflection, to be like Him exactly, following all His teaching, following all His commandments, and in this way we please Him. You know, we are not in the church to repeat, just like a lip worship. Every Sunday we repeat the same, but from inside we are empty. This is not right. The church is calling us to be filled, to be filled with piety and spirituality, to be filled with love and forgiveness, to be filled with all the Christian virtues. This is what the church is teaching us. You know, maybe sometime in our life, going to church like a habit, one day we like it, the other day we don't like it, but let us do it this way. Let us do it this way. You know, like if we don't eat, we get sick, we die, we get weak. But if we eat a healthy food, we become healthy. So we have food from this earth, and we have another kind of food. And Jesus Christ said, you know, He fed people. He fed the people, you know, like food, and He taught them many times, and especially the beautiful, the most beautiful homily or sermon on the mountain. First He fed them. He gave them food. He asked the disciples, give them food. Give the crowd food. And after that, He had them sit and He starts teaching them. So both we need two. These two kinds of food. We need the food, the vitamin, everything we eat, but we need this kind of food, the heavenly food. And this will fill us for eternity. This kind of food will stay with us for eternal life. Otherwise, you know, like we are just people, we eat and we die, and there is no sense in our life. So back to the month of November. The month of November, as I said, you know, like we have many, many beautiful things coming up. We have St. Catherine, the 25th. We have the entry of the Holy Theotokos to the altar, to the temple, to the sanctuary on the 21st. We have St. Philip. We have the beginning of Advent on the 15th. And every day we have something in the month of November. Last year, beloved in Christ, and this is what I want to highlight. Last year we decided to go to a monastery every year in November. Last year we had a big crowd on the bus, and I traveled with them to the monastery. And this weekend, the same. Every November, it has become like a beautiful tradition. And I will tell you why we do it this way. So we go on the bus from here to Arizona. 7 hours. What's a big deal? It's a beautiful, beautiful group from this cathedral, from other churches, from other jurisdictions. So we become like a spiritual family. And we give teaching on the bus. You know, people, maybe they don't get the message in the church for some reason, but they get that message on the bus when they are together, when they are encouraged by each other. So we pray on the bus, and we talk to them, and we listen. Even children. You know, in the past, maybe we had in mind that people are afraid to approach the bishop and talk to him. Now on the bus, you know, like children come sit next to me and talk to me and ask questions. This is a beautiful experience. So why do we go to the monastery? We go to the monastery, beloved in Christ. We need this kind of moment. We need this kind of opportunity. In the monastery, we see something different than the rest of the world. Nuns or monks, they live in love. They live life of repentance. They live a life, you know, like loving each other, supporting each other, and repenting at the same time. So they live the life of repentance. So when we go to the monastery, we hear something holy, something good for our nourishment. We don't care about food, we don't care about anything, you know, like where do we stay, where do we not. Everything is beautiful, but we don't pay attention to that, like this man here. He lived on this earth, sumptuously, you know, like a big word, like, Asha, Aishatan, Fakhiratan, he died and it died with him as well. We need, beloved in Christ, we need to be fed spiritually to stay with us. This is the church. We do everything we can to be good Christians, to be good examples to our neighbors in this society, to our children, grandchildren. You know, the church is not the building. No, beautiful, look, beautiful history here in this church. But the church is not the building. The church is you, every one of you. The church is us. The church is the body of Christ within our life. So that's why it's not an empty and a boring repetition. Every Sunday we say through the prayers or the Holy Theotokos, O Savior, save us. This is not an empty thing. You know, the Divine Liturgy begins with this. Blessed is the kingdom of the Father hand of the Son, hand of the Holy Spirit. This is a doctrine. This is a dogma in our life. So this is what we believe. We believe what we practice, and we practice what we believe. If we don't believe in the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, everything would be nonsense. And the second thing after it comes, you know, like the great activity, in peace, let us pray to the Lord. You know, if you like your worship, your piety, to be accepted, to be heard by God, and you enjoy it, and you take it with you to home, our prayer, our worship has to begin with, in peace, let us pray to the Lord. It means that we have to reconcile. We have to leave everything behind us. What we learn in the church, you know, like we don't see it in the world. Here we teach love. Here we teach forgiveness. Here we teach reconciliation. Here we teach forgiveness. Here we teach all what Jesus has taught us. So that's why, you know, like, if we don't come to the church, if we don't get the message in the church, if we don't pay attention to every day and what kind of feast we have every day, like the month of November, for example, every day we have something. So please take, I'm not encouraging you to, I'm not doing business here. But when you look at the church calendar, you will see the feast of the day, you see the saint of the day, you see the passage we have to read. You know, if you don't have the calendar, go on the website and you will find every day passage, a reading from the gospel, a reading from the epistle. And this is, you know, was made specially for the Christians to live their life, to be reminded that the beginning of Lent is on November 15, and we start the fast. We begin the fast. You know, we cannot be good Christians if we just come to the church occasionally, on some occasions. We have to live the faith in the church and home and elsewhere. You know, imagine I am a bishop, for example, and I am at the airport, and I emulate the people who are at the airport. Won't work this way. I am the bishop behind the altar, in the church, traveling, at the airport, at the restaurant, everywhere. I am the bishop. I am the icon of Jesus Christ. So I cannot separate myself from what I am teaching. So that's why I encourage all of you, those who are going to the monastery this year with us, remember that every November, every year, November, every year, we are organizing and planning for this trip, for this pilgrimage. It's not a trip. For this pilgrimage to the monastery. This year, I received a number of questions, and I will address all these questions on the bus. One of them is, why do we worship icons? What's the difference between a miraculous icon and an ordinary icon? How do we touch an icon? How do we, you know, like, pray before the icon? What's the significance of having icons in the church, at home, in the car, everywhere? So all these questions came from the people on the bus. And I will address that, or I will ask someone to do it. Beloved in Christ, we do everything we can to be good Christians. We are not Christians only the moment of receiving communion. We are Christians before receiving communion and after receiving communion. And in this way we build a holy community. We need God's mercy. In your bulletin today, there are two beautiful messages, one from Saint Ignatius of Antioch and the other one from Saint Innocent of Alaska. And it happened, maybe by providence or by accident, but I believe in providence, more in accident. So yesterday my teaching in Palm Springs was from the same passage, the same, and without looking at your bulletin, without seeing it, I saw your bulletin this morning here in the church. But yesterday my teaching in Palm Springs was from the same lesson of Saint Innocent of Alaska. And yesterday was the feast, the commemoration of Saint Raphael of Brooklyn. And was supposed to have the newest bishop of Brooklyn, who was supposed to come from the east, but because of Hurricane Sandy and because of the difficulty at the airport, so he was unable to be with us today. So I will reschedule his visit sometime during this coming months, and you will meet him and you will greet him and you will see that he is the newest bishop among the 9 bishops we have in North America. And his consecration took place last year, December 11th, in the monastery of Balamant, when I led 100 people to there for the consecration of the 3 bishops. And the last thing I would say, this is by providence also. Saint Raphael of Brooklyn came to North America in 1895. In 1895. 100 years later, this bishop came to these blessed shores in 1995. So this is not by accident, but this is a providence. So that's why, you know, like we pray to this holy man, Saint Raphael Hawawini. He was born in Beirut and he lived in Damascus, and he went to Russia and then he came to North America, and we call him the father of orphans, the friend of the poor. You know, he never lived in a home. He never lived in a home. He was after the lost sheep from one place to another. He took the train from east to west. It took him months to visit some parishes, like exactly what I am doing, I am trying to do. So I learned from this good example as well. Beloved in Christ, I pray that your day will be filled with grace and love and forgiveness and mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ. God bless you.